This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. These days, when you hear about an interesting book on NPR, you might have the impulse to go ahead and buy it. So you go online and click through that purchase. But where do most people go online to do that? Well, Amazon.com. It's the top web retailer for books and other stuff. Two-thirds of all e-books are sold on Amazon. But so has Amazon gotten too big? Does this company have too much power over the publishing industry and over your consumer choice? An ongoing contract dispute with the publishing powerhouse Hachette has brought this to light. Now some are calling for the Justice Department to step in with anti-monopoly court action. So have you had to contend with the monopoly power of Amazon? Do you think Jeff Bezos has gotten too big for his cyber britches? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. We want to hear from you. You can also email us with your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Steve Wasserman. He's the editor at large for Yale University Press, former editor of the LA Times Books Review, and this week The Nation published his essay, "When Will the Justice Department Take on Amazon?" Steve, welcome to The Source.
Thanks very much.
So when will the Justice Department take on Amazon? So is this something that the Justice Department has done before? They do this stuff all the time?
I think the answer to the question is never. They are unlikely to take on Amazon. Indeed, where the Justice Department has stepped in prior cases involving Amazon and Apple and the alleged collusion with a group of publishers who sought to alter the terms of trade between Apple and to provide a counterbalance to Amazon, the Justice Department sided with Amazon in that case, much to the publisher's regret. So I think it's most unlikely, and I think it's unlikely, even though I believe it's warranted, simply because the Justice Department, near as one can tell, takes a decidedly narrow view of the interests of the consumer, and they seem to believe that as long as Amazon in particular provides consumers a price which no other competitor can beat, they believe the consumer benefits and that whatever harm might be done to the culture at large is negligible. So they're unlikely, it seems to me, to actually pursue, as I would wish they would, a regulatory view of Amazon's otherwise avaricious nature and control of the market.
So the case of Hachette, which is a big publishing house, got some big names in there, J.K. Rowling, something people will recognize, and Colbert, Stephen Colbert, they're treating them differently than they do their other publishing houses. They're in a contract dispute that's been going on for about 6 months now. And so now Amazon is making their deliveries slower, not taking pre-orders for them, definitely giving them special treatment in a bad way. Does a company like Amazon, are they required to treat all of their clients or publishers this equally?
I think when a company presents a service that is indispensable for the functioning of a modern economy to proceed in a way that's fair, when it so occupies a position that it dominates it, then I think we've sort of crossed a boundary. I mean, much as in an earlier time, water, gas, electricity, to name a few services, were thought to be, because they are, an essential service everyone needs, they're regulated. They're not. It's not up simply to the utterly private interests of this or that company to so dominate it that everyone else is at their mercy. And much like Standard Oil of a century ago, which crossed a certain boundary, it required regulation. And here we have a case where Amazon, through the admirable entrepreneurship and even genius of Jeff Bezos and his associates, have reconfigured the whole ecology of publishing. But, you know, today its share of all new books sold is 40%, a huge increase from 12% in just 5 years. And book selling only represents 7% of Amazon's overall business. 93% of what they sell has nothing to do with books. Yet they occupy this enormous, outsized position in with respect to publishing. And that gives them an ability to impose terms on suppliers, content providers, publishers that nobody now can compete with, and everyone from booksellers to authors to publishers are increasingly at their mercy. So I would say, to put it in a phrase, I would say this is an assault by algorithm, which is a mugging by any other name.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 210-614-8980. Brenna has called in. Brenna, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm a romance writer, and I've published through several publishing houses. And I will tell you that working with Amazon is definitely a double-edged sword. That's the place where most people go and get their books that they download. So at least for people who publish in e-books, that's the place where most people go. And if Amazon chooses to what us writers, we call Amazon jail, where they label some of our romances as erotica, then those books don't show up when people go in and look for them. You could put in an author's name as well as their title, and it won't show up. You have to literally go through a back door to find some of these books. And in addition to that, a benefit to the regular user is that Kindle gives away free books a day. But in terms of small publishing houses, that has almost killed a lot of publishing houses, because instead of going out and buying books, people are just getting all of these books for free, which is making it very hard to have a living as a writer or as a publishing house.
So Brenna, are you watching this case with Amazon and what's happening with Hachette?
I actually, just listening to you on the news right now, am aware of this, and I'm so glad that I happen to be listening at the right time, because this is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. We're going to take a break real quick, but if you want to join the conversation, the number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about the powerful Amazon, not the river, but the website, Amazon.com. Has it gotten too big? It's locked in a six-month battle contract dispute with Hachette. Some authors are saying they're having to pay the price. The public is having to pay the price. And others are saying that it's time for the Justice Department to step in and say this is not right. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Amazon.com has become a powerhouse online. If you want to buy anything, you know, you can go on Amazon and there it is. But it started out with books, and it still has a big force, a big power over the publishing industry. Some say too much power. We invite you to call in if you've got questions or comments about this topic. 614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Now we bring in Dan Crane. He's a professor of law at the University of Michigan. He's written extensively about antitrust law. So, Professor Crane, Amazon.com and the Justice Department, is there precedent that could come to play here? Is there a case?
Well, good afternoon, David. Of course, the Justice Department could bring an antitrust case against Amazon if it wanted to, alleging that Amazon, which is clearly dominant in a number of e-sectors, has abused that dominance in some way. I'm skeptical that either the Justice Department or the Federal Trade Commission would be interested in doing so. Under existing antitrust law, it takes more than simply being a big, dominant company to attract the attention of an antitrust case. U.S. antitrust law is quite clear that merely being being large, even being powerful, even using your dominance as a competitive advantage is not enough to invite antitrust scrutiny. And if you look at the history of antitrust in the high-tech sector, going back to 1969 in the first big Justice Department case against IBM, it's not been a terribly successful track record of going after big dominant companies based on monopolization in the high-tech sector, whether it's IBM or later Microsoft or Google or Intel. So I'm skeptical that we are on the verge of seeing a big antitrust case against Amazon.
So public pressure would be more effective, Dan?
So I guess it depends on what particular type of practice we're talking about. Obviously, there are aspects of what Amazon does that have attracted attention from regulators. The in-app purchases question has attracted the attention of the Federal Trade Commission, both as to Amazon and as to Apple. So the idea that kids would be unleashed to make purchases in apps with their parents not knowing about it has attracted pressure. So it's not that there aren't specific business practices by Amazon that couldn't attract pressure from antitrust authorities or other regulators, but the idea of a sort of a big blockbuster antitrust case of the kind that we saw against Microsoft a generation ago, or has been talked about more recently against Google, I just don't think there's much of an appetite in Washington for that kind of antitrust case.
Back to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. Bryce Milligan has called in. Bryce is a local publisher of Wings Press. Bryce, welcome to the source.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
Doing great. So, tell us your point of view here.
Well, the main problem seems to be the discounts from the small press viewpoint. Amazon basically takes 55%, and so then they set their They take a 55% discount. So then they set the price lower than anybody else can get to, which is business, okay. But they also, by competing on the other end as a producer, then we're faced with authors that say, look, I can get 50% royalties or, you know, high royalties from Amazon. Why don't you pay the same? And Amazon doesn't have the same kind of overhead that a small press does, and they don't provide the kind of editorial services that a regular publishing company does. So there's a lessening of the quality of the actual product unless the author hires editorial services and hires their own publicists and hires, you know, all these things that were provided by a traditional publisher. And then again, local bookstores throughout the country are going out of business right and left, as they have been for years. But Amazon has put a tremendous amount of pressure on them because traditional bookstores got 40% discount. And they were making, you know, they were paying people and they were creating jobs. And people could go to these places as literary centers, which is not what you do on Amazon. So there's a lot of things that I find are putting pressure on both book selling and publishing.
Okay, Bryce, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate your input on that. Steve Wasserman, editor-at-large for Yale University Press, you just heard from Bryce. What do you think about that?
Well, I think what Bryce says is to the point, but I'd also like to ask Dan Crane a question about what changed in American life and what changed with respect to the calculus the Justice Department uses to assess whether or not there's an antitrust issue. I mean, two generations ago, you know, the United States brought suit against Paramount Pictures, and in 1948, the Supreme Court ordered the breakup of the old Hollywood studio system because it had become a vertically integrated industry, which was at once an owner of distribution, i.e. the theaters. It also produced the movies. It also controlled the actors' wages. And as Amazon becomes increasingly a vertically integrated company, at once a bookseller, a reviewer, even now a publisher, and as such, at least for many people or critics, it seems to pose a uniquely disturbing threat. Why wouldn't the Justice Department pursue this line, even though, as you rightly say, that with respect to Google and Microsoft, it has been most reluctant to undertake such a pursuit?
So let me try to answer that question descriptively as opposed to offering sort of my own opinion on it, which is just to say that vertical integration in the last 20 or 30 years in the economics literature and in the courts has been seen much more receptively and much more positively than it was in the 1940s, 50s, or 60s. Vertical integration and vertical mergers in particular have been seen as creating efficiencies and allowing products to be distributed more cheaply and more efficiently through different kinds of distribution channels. So there certainly has been a sea change in thinking from the sort of antitrust of the mid-20th century and the post-war era into the 80s and 90s and into today about what kinds of practices are good for consumers and what kinds of practices create market power. So it's not that there is no kind of vertical integration that would ever be challenged, and we've seen in some recent mergers, Comcast, NBCU, and Ticketmaster, Live Nation, most notably, which are mostly vertical deals, the Federal Trade Commission imposing some conditions on those deals in order to, or the Justice Department, in order to get the deals cleared. So it's not that vertical issues have disappeared entirely, but overall, the agencies really, I think, reflecting economic thinking, have been much more receptive to that kind of vertical integration because of the benefits it brings to consumers.
Well, let me ask you, Steve Wasserman, about the public pressure, consumer pressure. And you've written your article, and you're here on the air, and you're out there talking about this. You know, people it may not even be buying books, but you can tell people, look at the Fire phone. You know, can you trust Amazon with the phone if they're going to choke off choice and hurt consumers? I mean, is that a tactic?
Well, I think, to be frank, that actual change really does come from the bottom up, and that it will require a consumer and citizen revolt. And just as I would oppose a one-party state, which might be efficient from the standpoint of getting decisions made and moving things along, I think it would be unhealthy for a democracy. And while one might make a narrow argument for economic efficiency with respect to Amazon, I don't think it's healthy for a democratic literary culture. And I think if there's to be any real change for this, it will have to come from the bottom up. Amazon is too powerful, has too much money right now, and has the potential for greasing the wheels with lobbyists and others in Washington to for the rest of us to place much faith in the culture of enabling that seems to go on more often than it had, as Professor Crane rightly says, in the mid-century. So I would say, just as not to put too fine a point on it, but rather let's put it coarsely, just as it is almost impossible to conceive that there would be enough pressure today to enact a new deal, nonetheless, we would do well to go back to that well to reconsider whether or not the permissive environment that has enabled large companies to become larger at the expense of the smaller fish in the fray, about whether or not that has actually been good for a democratic culture. That will be something that only citizens can decide.
Now, and Steve, so the Hachette is fighting Amazon, and they're at the tip of the spear with this legal battle or a contract dispute. But are they representative of the entire publishing industry? Is this something that would become even wider? Will there be other Hachettes?
Yes. Hachette is fighting a battle which is being very closely looked at by other publishers, because it is widely thought that this will be a landmark battle, a precedent-setting battle and contest, and that should Amazon prevail, other publishers will feel themselves to be extraordinarily vulnerable. Hachette has seemingly drawn the proverbial line in the sand, and they have taken the position that were they to relent and accede to the terms that Amazon seeks, that their very survival might be at stake. Now, even allowing for hyperbole, and in all negotiations, hyperbole and rather dramatic claims are made by both sides, nonetheless, this is, for the moment, a rather unprecedented stance that Hachette has adopted, not dissimilar to the efforts being conducted in Europe as well. I mean, Amazon has laid siege to traditional bricks-and-mortar bookstores, not only in the United States, but also in Europe. And it recently forced the media conglomerate, the German company Bertelsmann, to shutter its core book clubs and retail stores, and other publishers like Piper, Carlson, and Ullstein, all owned by the very large Swedish Bonnier Group, also feel themselves to be under fire from Amazon, which has recently demanded that its share of the profit from every e-book sale rise from 30% of the retail price to 50%. And the CEO of the Bonnier Media Deutschland Group worries that Amazon is undermining his ability to survive. So I think these battles are quite serious, and they are being looked at very closely by their publishing brethren.
Back to Bryce Milligan at the San Antonio's publisher of Wings Press. So, Bryce, I mean, how do you feel about this? I mean, you're not even nearly as big as Hachette. You're a local little publisher guy, trying to do your best, trying to get a local voice out there. How do you compete with that?
Well, Wings has been publishing about 20 to 25 books a year, and I've got authors from Maine to the bottom of Argentina, so it may appear to be a small publisher, but I have taken on Amazon 2 years ago specifically when they cut off my distributor for I use Independent Publishers Group of Chicago, and one day they had a dispute with IPG over the discounts, and they simply said, "We won't sell your ebooks anymore." Well, we had a bestseller at the moment, and it was cut off the next day. that poor author lost all of her potential sales for that book. And that attitude that Amazon can just turn off the faucet is really scary.
All right, Bryce, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on and sharing that point of view. Bryce Milligan, publisher of Wings Press. Also joining us, we've had Steve Wasserman, editor-at-large for Yale University Press, former editor, LA Book Times Book Review. And this week, The Nation published his essay, "When Will the Justice Department Take on Amazon?" Also with us, we had Dan Crane, professor of law at the University of Michigan, and has written extensively about antitrust law. This is The Source on KSTX, back after the NPR News.